Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Find me on the web at turnerstake.com, and if you're a farmer, turnerstakeag.com. My Twitter handle is @turnerstake, and we work with hedgers, speculators, farmers, ranchers. We do anything from broker-assisted and managed futures to offering online trading. Got some fantastic platforms here, and just pretty much anything in between. Let's talk about the grain markets to start off with. Today is September 29th, last business day of the month, and that usually means we get the SEP 1 stocks report, which we did. We also see some of the final wheat numbers today. Let's start off with beans. What's interesting about the SEP 1 stocks report is, September 1st is the beginning of the new marketing year. So when we see the SEP 1 September 1st stocks report, that is what we expect the ending stocks to be for old crop. When's all said and done, or pretty close to it. The soybeans was the big bullish surprise. We came in at 301. The last WASD had ending stocks for old crop be 345. Some of the trade was thinking we'd be in the 330s. Being at 301 was well above below everyone's expectations, which means soybeans kind of rallied there. Now, we didn't rally a ton because we're still at 300 or higher, but we finished the day up 8 cents. Still in a trading range with soybeans. I had talked earlier and also been writing about selling straddles on soybeans. We had talked about actually 360s, because for around 30 cents, that gives you a break-even zone or better in between 930 and 990. I still think that's a pretty good range for beans for the next month. And, as we stay in those trades, we'll probably look to get as much premium out of those short straddles as we can, and then look to put them in a put spread for new crop for next year. The idea is to kind of collect premium on old crop so I can pay, or we can pay for the new crop put spreads. That is the idea. We do that for both corn and soybeans when we have large stocks. What's interesting about soybeans is we do have large stocks, but they're not as large as we thought. They're still, this time last year when we saw that huge soybean crop and we had that 52 yield, and then we had the big, and then after that, the big South American crop, a lot of us thought, I'm not alone here, that there is a potential that U.S. soybean carryout for that old crop could be 500 million bushels. And here we are, and a year later, ending around 300 million. And that was with a much better South American crop than we probably thought at the beginning of that. So that's 200 million bushels of increased soybean demand that we really didn't see, and the USDA didn't see, but it happened. I think that what tells you is that there really is a demand driver for protein. There really is a demand driver for soybeans, and considering that soybeans are only produced for export for the most part in the United States and in South America, beans being Brazil and the meal part being in Argentina, I think we're going to really start seeing beans, the market making beans the crop of choice here in the United States. It seems to be the one that has the most potential if there are issues. Seems the one that has the most natural demand drivers right now. So Beans, one thing I didn't love is, you know, after a miss like that, you think, you know, in the old days when we had tighter stocks, a miss like that on a stocks report, Beans would be up 30 or 40 cents. But since we're still north of 300, we've got to project a new crop carryout for new crop over 400. It meant we were up 10 cents. That goes back to our theme. When you got large stocks in old crop, large stocks in new crop, large stocks around the world, you just don't get a whole lot of volatility, which is why we have been selling those straddles. Plus, combined, I mean, the exports for beans have been fantastic. This report was bullish. We do have some pretty large stocks, so that limited the rally today. But another thing that's been limiting the rally, these field reports we're getting for soybeans have really been good. And now we're starting to hear more from Illinois and Iowa, and they thought they'd have trouble spots. It ended up not being a big deal. Places where I thought they'd have an average crop, they're having an above-average crop. I don't know what is going on with the seed technology with, you know, with beans, where it's now caught up to where kind of corn was, you know, because, you know, the way the seed technology went, really seemed like corn was able to withstand adverse conditions a lot better. Now with soybeans, it's almost the same. It really is amazing the kind of yields that we're pulling out here after the planting and growing season we had. But I think that's good, you know, that soybeans can still be around 970, 965, 970 in the backdrop of basically large stocks and a large crop coming. I do think we're range bound, and I can't see us getting much into the tens without a real issue in South America. I have a hard time seeing us going below that 930, 940 level without, I don't know, maybe exports shutting off or maybe just the yields just getting crazy big. But I think we have a pretty good idea that based on the yield reports we're getting, that we'll see the production be right, maybe that 50, the yield be around the 50s, you know, 50, say for the national yield. And then demand continues to remain good. So it's just going to be a lot of back and forth with beans. So I like that. I still like selling the straddles and beans and getting what we can for them over the next 30 days. And if we play it smart, hopefully we have enough premium to start buying put spreads for NOV 18 just to get some kind of floor in there. I don't want to be outright short soybeans. I think they have the most potential of all the markets this year. I don't want to sell calls in new crop at all. I don't mind it in old crop, you know, where something expires in a month, but nothing really past that. I don't want to buy the puts outright because it'd be kind of expensive. I'd much rather do a put spread for new crop hedges. And I want to leave as much upside as possible for farmers next year. It'd be rare to, I mean, I think based on what we're hearing in South America that acres are going to go up a little bit, but because they're probably not going to have just the record crop in terms of yield, that production will probably even fall a little bit. And then, with the United States here, we've had two very good growing seasons in a row. Maybe we should expect that with beans, but the demand drivers are really there. And if we have weather issues, that could really help that market in terms of price. So I'll get off my soapbox a little bit for beans, but short-term, range-bound, going forward, there's going to be a lot of beans in the world, but a lot of demand, and you know, because of that demand, any kind of hiccups, I'd lean more bullish towards beans with going forward after we get through harvest and start to get into a traditional South American weather market, which isn't going to be for a while. So in terms of Turner's take, you probably have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to be looking to do with the hedgers. In terms of speculating in Turner's take ag marketing, we will look for some places here to find long exposure to beans. I don't know if that's going to be outright future spreads, maybe buying a call spread, selling a put spread. I actually kind of like that. Maybe that's what we'll do next week. That sounds pretty good. But it'll be something like that. It'll be we are going to find a way after this report to get some kind of exposure to beans and limit the risk the best we can. In terms of corn, technically it was a bullish surprise, but the problem is if you have over 2.3 billion in carryout, and then you now you're at 2.29 or something like that. The stocks are below all expectations, but moving corn stocks 100 million bushels is not a big deal. It's not like we have a billion carryout or 900 million carryout and we just we're wrong by 100 million bushels. That would be a limit up day, right? Or a limit down day, depending on which way we were wrong. But when you're wrong, or when the market or the analysts are off by 100 million bushels, when you've got a 2.3 carryout, I don't know, that's worth a nickel, maybe either way, in corn, which is why we've been, for Deese corn, we've been selling straddles, in the 560s and the 550s recently. Earlier in the year, we were at 580s and 570s. We ended up rolling those down. And really, between now and December, I still don't see a reason why we should be breaking down much below 330 to the downside or going above 380 much to the upside. So I still like the idea of selling straddles on old crop corn. And, whatever we can get for those, at the end of the trade, as we're kind of buying back the puts and the calls as they each get cheaper. If we can make 5 or 10 cents, doing this a couple of times over the next few months, I'm just going to turn around and use that to buy put spreads in the new crop corn. And that way we can at least put a floor in, something for Deese 18. Tell you what's nice, Deese 18 is trading at around $4 for the new crop. So you could probably buy $3.50 puts outright just for 10 cents and put a floor in for $3.40 for corn, which I know doesn't sound all that great, but considering where prices are here today, at least you have that in. But still, something like the 380. And I'll have to price some of these out, but there's got to be a way to use some of the premium that we're doing. Maybe like a 380 floor. Maybe like a 380. Maybe like a 380, 330 floor. You could do probably with December corn. So the trick is when you're looking for put spreads for Deese corn of next year for new crops, so let's place it's 18, you're trying to pick the low strike of where cost of production is. So let's say, or we just can't see it going below. Let's say it's 330 or 340. Let's say it's 330 in Deese corn. Maybe that's going for about 4 cents. So then if you're looking at the 380s, which are going for about 20, if you can get 50 cents of protection for 15 cents, that works. And then if you can get 5, 10, or all 15 cents of that out of doing some short straddles or selling some calls on rallies during the market, during this part of the year on old crop, sometimes you could pay for the whole price protection for next year's crop doing that. And that's what you can only do that when you've got. I can't say can only do that, but we typically only will do that when you got large stocks, large new crop, large old crop stocks, large global stocks, which we do here. But worked out well for us last year. I'm thinking that'll work out well for this year. If you have any questions about that, if you want to, you can still do that. Time has not run out. If you have an account with me, you still want to find ways to use the old crop to pay for some of the new crop. Hopefully pay for some new crop protection next year. Call me. The number here in Chicago is 312-706-7610. But you can also find all my contact information in the show notes, because that is something we can do in October and November, and then hopefully put on those put spreads in December after maybe a little bit of a rally from South America or something like that. And hopefully set floors for next year by what we're doing now in October and October and November. So that's going to be the plan. Again, I know there are some clients who've been following me for years, 10 years plus, saying, Craig, you don't usually, sell options on soybeans. Well, I don't when we have tight stocks. And there were a lot of years, like 5 or 6 years in a row, where we had tight stocks on soybeans. We just don't have tight stocks on soybeans as of right now. that may change. So I'll even do the same strategy I'm doing for corn as for soybeans. As far as wheat goes, I haven't had a chance to look enough at the breakdown across all wheat classes. So I'll wait for that, commenting on that extensively till next week. But I did notice they increased production for the spring wheat. That was disappointing. That's going to be tough for spring wheat. It's going to be real interesting what happens now here in the wheat complex, where you really do have plenty of wheat and the crop is getting bigger for the spring wheat. I think it was North Dakota ended up having better yields than people thought and better production. I'll have to double check on that. So that was not encouraging for wheat. I think this report, from a trading or just from a price relationship standpoint, beans are going to tend to gain on... beans will gain on wheat. Corn will be a follower to the upside. I think that's really kind of the way we'll see it go. All right, let's see what else we got here. That's about enough time on grain. Some of the guys we work with in the cattle markets, we have been... one thing that came up that was pretty attractive for those who could use it was selling straddles in these cattle. Now, you've been hearing me talk about the short straddles a lot, but, you know, the thing is with grains and with the fat cattle, you know, we're just going to be range-bound. We think we're going to be range-bound in these cattle. We don't, you know, demand will be strong. Supply is going to be big. It's, you know, 115. Straddles are going for 8 points. You know, that puts us a break-even range of 107 to 123. It's hard to see us really going above or below that. It certainly can happen, but we just really just don't see it right now for those. And that's something that we'll continue to look at. That's really all we've been looking at for livestock. The hogs, we do think there's going to be a lot of supply coming. There's a lot of supply coming to the market, and traditionally, this time of year, we see demand start to wane. You know, demand for hogs is typically best in the late spring into the summer because that's barbecue season. That's when you see the highest demand for it. So now we're coming into a lower demand part. And what's been strange about this, the hog structure now, is we're seeing a lot of product come to market, which is not usually the case seasonally. Seasonally, we tend to see less product come. But the way things are looking, the way we're seeing it, is actually more product, and you're seeing that reflected in cash prices too. So unless you get the last demand driver that really sent us higher was the shortage of bellies, that's not really the case anymore. Hogs have been a tough market to trade, but we'll probably probably more bearish on these strong rallies, probably more bearish than bullish on those. Couple other things I've been writing about crude. I do think crude is due for a turnaround here. Brent has led the crude oil market higher. If you take a look at Brent, we almost topped out at 59 in December. Now we've backed off a couple of bucks for WTI. We got as high in December as around 53. Now we're in the around 51 and change. What's interesting about the spreads, they are, trying to get inverted. And, they're pretty much staying at a carry. What the deal is, OPEC has some pricing power in crude oil, especially in the Eastern Hemisphere. There are more OPEC countries over there, so they have a little more influence on prices in, let's say, Europe, Asia, and Africa. China would be a big one, a big customer over there. While the WTI in the United States, because there's more countries in the Western Hemisphere that produce crude that have more of a free market than Canada and the United States, you don't see the prices run as much when OPEC decides to cut down on production. So the futures spreads are stronger on the Brent side, but they're weaker on the WTI side. And what was interesting is the last energy report, when crude was basically running so... Brent was running so far ahead of WTI, we actually saw... we saw the record large exports of U.S. crude overseas in the last U.S. energy report, which basically now is giving you an idea of, okay, what is the point? You know, at what point in the price structure, now that you can export crude out of the United States, used to be a lot of restrictions against that. You know, what does that mean? So I think we're starting to hit a top in crude. I think maybe 60 for Brent and somewhere in the mid to low 50s for WTI. So I do think we're going to see a reversal here. I'm not smart of the market, so I am just keeping an eye on the technicals. I've got my moving averages out. I got the MACD out. We've got some other technical indicators that I like to follow. Nothing. It's no rocket science here. It's just, your major ones. And when we get a chart reversal, we start breaking through some averages. The MACD turns negative. I have no problem taking some short action in crude oil. In the meantime, we do have one bear spread on. It's a seasonal spread. It's the January-April crude spread. I like that one. I've been writing about it. It's a small position, but I'm willing to be in that right now. And then when the averages do turn over, when the D's crude chart breaks down, then I'm happy to get more aggressive on it. But that's my idea right now on crude. And you can follow Turner's Take Market Alert for that. Let's take a look, see if there's anything else we want to talk about. I did write about the British pound. If you take a look at a daily chart, it looks like to me we're breaking lower. The GDP reports coming out of the United Kingdom, the annual GDP, were more bearish than previously thought. With the dollar turning higher and with the euro breaking down a little bit, it just seems like the pound is has run up too far. 200-day moving average is only down 129, and we're trading about 134 right now. So I don't know. I like the short side of the pound. I don't know. It's good how you want to play. It's going to be up to each individual trader. But if take a look at a daily chart for yourself. Take a look where the moving averages are, the chart action, the momentum indicators. And then you see these negative GDP reports coming out for it, and not negative GDP, but bearish GDP reports. Out of the pound is the currency we're watching. And I think that is about it. I'm going to give one last scan here if there's anything else we've been following. That is it. So, if you guys have any questions, you can always give me a call. I will be on, I'll be with Chip Flory on Market Rally Radio on Monday, so tune in to that. I'll be in the office all next week. If you want to talk about marketing, you want to talk about hedging, regardless if you are a client or you are new to the program and you're just getting to know us, love to hear from you. Again, all my contact information is in the show notes on iTunes or on the website at turnerstake.com. All right, have a great week, everyone, and I'll talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.